How do I pronounce your last name?
Gregoire.
Gregoire. Oh, see, I was saying Grigori.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the common thing that everybody seems to get from my name. But yeah, it's Gregoire.
Gregoire.
Good old French last name.
See, now that I look at it, that makes total sense, and I feel like an idiot.
Don't worry about it.
You're listening to the Music Manumit Podcast for January 29th, 2011. Learn more at musicmanumit.com.
Hi, and welcome to another Music Manumit. I am Tom, and with me, as always, is Doug.
You did it. You said always.
I did say fair. Always. That's right, because there have been times when you haven't been here. You're
but
very literal.
Time, usually.
Yes. So with me as usual?
As usual. That's quite
that one will be okay with you. All right, good. Yeah. And we also have a guest with us today who's sitting and listening to all this. We have Michael Gregoire from Bloxonic.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm glad to finally catch up with you guys.
Yes, we've had a couple of scheduling conflicts, but you know, in the when you live in a world where everything is done online, very easy to get lost. You know, emails and all that other garbage, whatever. Doug emails me all the time, and I only read about half.
That is not true. I emailed you once recently, a long email.
That's true.
A moderately lengthy email.
But anyway, we're happy to have you on. And so now, first I'd like to know, where are you located?
In Maine.
So you're in Maine?
In Old Orchard Beach, Maine.
Oh, and so you get winter over there, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. We're in it right now.
Just checking. I don't get out of the state much, so I don't know where many things are.
Sure.
Maine, one of the other states where one of the official state languages is French, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's an official state language, but we do have a lot of French in a couple parts of the state. In the northernmost part, where we share a border with Quebec, Canada, and then near me in Biddeford and in Lewiston, a little north. So we get like three pockets that are really French.
I just let everybody know the reason we have you on the show is because you are very active in the Creative Commons community. You run the net label Bloxonic. You also are a musician yourself. We're going to get on all this. I'm just giving the layout for everyone. Under the name McGee, I think
it's actually MG.
MG. Oh, see, I was now that I looked at it, it's like there's no C there. It's MG. And then you know, you also have a bunch of other stuff going on that you do. Development and design and things like that. So I guess the first one I'd like to talk about is the reason I know who you are, and actually the thing you did that turned me on to my favorite music source of all time, the Free Music Archive, is Bloxonic, because you featured my band Lorenzo's Music on a compilation called Straight Out of the FMA. And it showed up in my Google alerts, and I'm watching this, and I'm like, holy crap, look at what all this, I mean, you literally release albums, or, you know, like compilations. Yeah. You're like KTEL Records for Creative Commons. and then I was like, well, what's this Free Music Archive thing? And it turns out that Digital Audio had curated our album and put it on the site, and I had no clue. So basically, you opened my eyes to a bunch of new stuff just by putting us on this compilation. So I'd love to get a backstory on why you started this and how you put in the crazy amount of effort that you put into releasing these net albums.
It kind of started back, I think, around 2001, 2002. I was really just, discovering the whole world of net labels and Creative Commons licensed music. Actually, Creative Commons wasn't even around at the time, in the early time. And I was just getting into all this net label stuff, but I was finding I was taking forever to find good stuff. Like, there's so much available, and not everything's to your taste and whatnot. So, I don't know. As I would come upon, you know, a few gems here and there, I'd be saying to myself, wow, I wish there was a way for me to find, you know, all the good stuff rather than having to sift through all of this. But, of course, that didn't exist. And I decided to take it upon myself to try to do something like that. And so, you know, I did, you know, I do a lot of listening, and I had this idea of compiling them and see if it was possible. So in 2007, January 2007 was our launch of the first one, Net Block Volume 1. And it kind of fell into place. It took a few months to, you know, contact everybody the first time around and get all the assets that I needed to make it happen. But it fell into place, and that kind of proved that it was possible to make this happen. And here we are, volume 37's in the works.
Yeah. I mean, one thing you do way better than we do is basically all your notes. I mean, our notes, we take notes, but they're scattered and far between. So you're very thorough. And I mean, how much effort does it take to do this, putting these things together? I mean, does it take up a lot of your time? Because you do a lot of other things.
Yeah. Well, I have a full-time job.
On top of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I've got a design business where I do freelance work, a little programming too as well. And so my hands are really full. But in the beginning, I think it took me, you know, maybe a couple months at a time for each thing, to each comp, to make it happen. Mm-hmm. Between, you know, communicating with all the artists and getting everything together. And now I think I've gotten a little bit more efficient, and I've got the system going, and I can make them happen within, you know, 2-3 weeks. But it isn't, you know, a straight up 2-3 weeks of work, really. It's more or less 2-3 weeks of communication, and then, you know, a couple days or, you know, of really pushing to make everything happen and put it all together and stuff.
Yeah, and it's a great thing that you're doing. I mean, we've talked about you on the show before. The whole, like, you can download just the booklet, you can download the whole thing, and you open it, and it's just like if you were to have a CD sleeve inside of it, and just all the info. And you can also download all the songs individually, which I think that's really cool. Cause a lot of the times we'll get something and you can only download the zip file. Like, and we have a separate show that we do, that's a music show featuring Creative Commons music. And sometimes we'll get something where it's like, oh, I have to download the whole album to get it, which is fine. But you know, like when you're showing people songs, they might just want to have that song and sample it, may not want to download the whole thing. So I think
that's pretty uncommon, though.
Yeah, right, but it does come up. I mean, when they're bundled,
it does happen. Yeah. I've come across it recently. It kind of bugged me that I couldn't check out the tracks, you know, individually first before, especially with what I do. You know, I download a bunch of stuff, but sometimes I just want to check some things out before I download it, to kind of like scan it really quick, you know, and instead of wasting a lot of time. So some labels don't get it. Very few, but there are a couple that really don't get that. It's too bad.
You know, I take that back. Yeah, I think with net labels, that can be an issue. And I think why it doesn't come up with for Tom and I that often is because a lot of the stuff we get is from Jamendo and from the Free Music Archive.
Yeah, right.
Which, once again, like you were saying, there wasn't anywhere you could find it, or when you did find it, it was like, well, how do I find more like this? Whereas now with Jamendo and Free Music Archive, it's very easy, or it's getting easier.
It is. It's come a long way.
Yeah, and before it was just while it's a great service, the vast wasteland that is archive.org.
Yeah.
Trying to find your way around there. But and I'm not knocking that service. I love...
It's a very important service, especially in the net label community, for sure.
Yeah.
But navigating it and finding like items, and it's just, forget about that.
Right. So how did the name come about? You even have your own little spelling of it.
Yeah. Well, the name is kind of from the start, Bloxonic in my mind is kind of like this, well, the whole releasing your music via a Creative Commons license or a copyleft license, if you want to call it that, is kind of a political move or a statement in some way. Some people may not consider it as such, but, you know, it's kind of going against the grain of traditional music industry. Mm-hmm. So looking at it that way, when I wanted to put this site together, I wanted it to be something political in some way. And so in that sense, Block is like a political block, and Sonic, of course, a sound. Mm-hmm. So that's what the name's about.
Did that come first, or did that come after you decided to do it? Just out of curiosity.
Well, the first idea was the compilation. And then it was a matter of coming up with a name for the site and everything. So it was all kind of together. Mm-hmm. For the first compilation, I had the site up and running, so I had to program the site, design it and everything before I even could consider getting the compilation ready.
And isn't that always the fun thing? It's like, oh, I got this great idea. Now I got to wait a month or so to get everything set up.
Right.
And you also have a couple of, like, you have Max Blocks, and then of course the originals on the site. Now, what is the difference between, or what are the Max Blocks, and then you also have extended editions?
Yeah, so we get the Net Blocks, which are the compilations of third party or non Bloxonic tracks, basically from the Net label or Net Audio world, and then the Max Blocks are basically maxi singles or EPs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so a lot of the times it'll be, when we release an original album, that'll have a couple singles, and those will be Max Blocks. And I always try to shoot for like 5 tracks at least on those. So they're kind of like the whole, 12-inch single kind of thing, that's what I'm going for with those. And then the extended editions are basically, how... the major labels always release deluxe editions, remastered, So that's what our take on that is, are the extended editions. So you'll always have, it's basically a re-release of an album that was originally released either independently or on a label that no longer exists. Huh. And usually it's remastered, and it comes with a bonus disc of material, sometimes a couple bonus discs of material.
See, I like that. Yeah, I like that.
I definitely wanted to keep the professional level up. I definitely wanted to make this like a professional experience to some degree. I guess, the goal with Bloxonic has always been to introduce new people to the Net label or Net audio scene, but make it palatable to people from the mainstream. So when they come into this, they're not so put off by it being feeling too DIY, I guess. So it brings them into the scene. A lot of the times people just need a little something to grab hold of before they really embrace something.
And I also wanted to ask now, before you were saying about how before you started this and you were looking for music and it was difficult back in, God, it's hard. I can't believe I'm going to say 2007, only a couple of years ago. But were you specifically looking for Creative Commons? Or no, you said it didn't exist then. But then what drew you to it, I guess?
Well, Creative Commons, it was kind of the whole development of Creative Commons came about around the same time that I started discovering Net labels.
Okay.
I think they first began licensing. They released their first license, I think it was 2002. So it was almost exactly around the same time. So it was almost part of the whole experience from the beginning. So when it came down to releasing our own stuff, it was not even a question of whether I would or wouldn't release it with a Creative Commons license. It was just which one I would choose. And in the beginning, I chose the one I had. We go with by NCND. Basically, in the beginning, was I tried to pick the most restrictive license, only because I didn't, it's a compilation of tracks from all over the place, and so all their licenses vary, so I had to make it at least the most restrictive, cover the most restrictive case scenario of the tracks that would be included, I guess.
Right, yeah, because I was going to say that I noticed that that is not the license you use on your personal stuff.
No, on my personal website, I went with the share alike, so people could remix and whatnot.
Is that just a BY share alike or a NC?
I think NC.
Yeah, it is NC.
Yeah. But I do plan on releasing some of that stuff, an actual release through Bloxonic, and then those versions of the tracks will end up being the NCND by NCND.
I wanted to ask you another thing about what are your ambitions like going forward with Bloxonic? Like, what do you see in the future of this? Are you just going to carry on the way you have been and see what happens, or do you have more aspirations?
Yeah, we definitely have goals. I'm trying to. I've been tossing around ideas for bringing some kind of income to it, so I can at least pay for hosting or whatever, and maybe get some income to the artists who spend so much time, developing their art.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've had a few ideas, and I think I've got an idea for releasing music, both commercially and, as I have been. So that's going to be something that's going to play. I'm going to be tested with my own stuff in I think I'm releasing in November. And it'll be, I'll be the guinea pig to see if this really works. And if it does, then in 2013, we're going to go, you know, I'm going to invite everybody involved in, you know, releasing our music, all the artists. And, you know, having the option to do, you know, to release something commercially through us. And so, yeah, we're, you know, we're going to try to get into some sort of hybrid model, if you will.
The way you speak, it sounds like you have, it's more than you involved these days.
Or it's just me right now.
It is just you. Okay.
The goal is to have, yeah, sometimes I say we, you know, it's always trying to sound like more professional than what we are, I guess.
Oh, you just did again.
Yeah. Did I just do it again?
Yeah, you did.
But it is just a one-man show right now. But, okay. You know, eventually I'd like it to, you know, to bring in other people into this at some point when I can afford to pay somebody something, you know?
Well, I know you did have a summer project that you did last year. You had started a new website. I forget the name. That you had done where you were looking for people who were releasing their albums in the summer. Was that you?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, shoot. Then it was somebody else. It was.
Yeah, I'm not sure who you're talking about.
Well, because the thing was, is I missed out on it completely because my album was supposed to come out like in the spring of last year, and then it got delayed. It got delayed, and then it didn't come out till August, I think. And then. Yeah, and then I missed out, and the site had shut down. Like, literally, it was a three-month project of promoting bands on this website. I wish I could remember the name of it. And I thought it was you, so this story is going nowhere.
We're playing Music Manumit Bingo now. Yes. Tom has not remembered the website of a show.
Exactly, yeah. How
I have to figure out something to tell you how to do what you do, Mike, because that's something that always happens as well. And right now, I don't have... Oh, actually, that's not true. That is not true. I think you should have the licenses for the tracks on your. I think
you know, that just crossed my mind. I'm currently redesigning the website, and I'm gonna try to bring in a few extra features. And that did cross my mind this week, and maybe should do that. So yeah, that's a good idea, and I think that's something I'm gonna incorporate. The redesign launch is probably. I see it happening in the next maybe 3-4 months because I'm reprogramming it too. So it's going to be a little bit, but yeah.
I don't know how many people, you know, go around looking for stuff to remix. But for us, we only play stuff that's remixable. So I know that some of the tracks that you play are not, you know, the BYNC indie stuff, but I basically don't ever go looking for stuff on the site. Because I know that the stuff is not.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I mean, if I go to your curatorship on music on the Free Music Archive, yeah. The licenses are there.
Yeah, they are.
So that's a way to get into some of the music. But just going to the website, it's hard to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I don't know if you want to. While we're talking about the Free Music Archive, if you want to say anything about your curatorship. If you're doing anything interesting with that, or if it's just sort of mirroring what you're doing on the website, or
at the moment, when I first started posting things there, you know, I'd have a little independent blog thing going on, but I haven't done that so much, and it's been more of a mirror than anything, more or less just to get it, you know, the music out there a little bit wider. But I plan on probably posting something special in the next month or so, you know, related to our 5th year anniversary and stuff, and trying to push Block Sonic over there.
Oh yeah, well that'd be a great time to do the site relaunch if you can get it done.
Well, actually, it's January. It's this month actually. On the first release was January 16th, 2007. So we actually just passed it. So, yeah, I've just begun the design. Well, I've kind of re-begun, like, for the third time in the past few months. Because I've always had, you know, I get this idea for a design, and it doesn't pan out. And so it's like the third round, and now it's sticking. Now it's really falling into place. Unfortunately, I didn't make it for the 5th year anniversary, but probably in the next 3 months, I think.
So I wanted to ask you more about your actual, I guess, would it be MG identity?
Yeah.
The music that you've been putting out. You've been putting that out for quite some time, and I see it also on Free Music Archive. So now are these just sampling? Are you use? I mean, like, what programs are you using, and like, what is it that you do as far as making music?
I use Ableton Live, and I do a lot of the melodies are done in MIDI, and I do sample too. It's kind of a mix between, you know, some electronic synths, you know, MIDI synths, and sampling. And it's all beat oriented, pretty much. You know, hip hop is a strong draw for me, as at least as the bass. I don't know. It's kind of the only thing that ties everything together is it's probably strongly beat driven. Everything else, it's kind of all over the place. Lots of influences all over the place. So you know, I've been making music on the side. You know, kind of as a hobby since probably, I don't know, since 97, I think. And it's just been something that's kind of took and hold a little bit more and more each time, you know, each time I go back at it, you know. So it's gotten serious enough that I feel like I want to release something.
What's the website for the band?
To my music?
Yeah.
Yeah, mgee.blocksonic.com.
No, it is all on the Blocksonic site.
Yeah, it's kind of a subdomain, yeah.
Do you ever play out live? Are you able, or do you just do this all to create and put on the web?
Yeah, there's no intention of performing. I couldn't do it. No, you know, a lot of this stuff, you know, I henpeck at the keyboard to make the melodies and stuff like that. You know, I'm not a professional musician or a trained musician by any means, so I just love to create music and put it out.
Yeah, and that's, and I love the fact that people can, you know,
yeah,
do this,
sure.
And especially, and the fact that we've never met or been in the same room that we know of with each other, and I've listened to your music, you know. I can't say never.
You know of.
We may have at some point in life, like, crossed through the same town or something. I don't know, you know.
Never know. Yeah.
But yeah, and I was listening to your music before this started, and that's the beauty of doing this is just like, you know, the internet and, you know, the net label thing that you're doing. So I just think that's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, it's an amazing time for that.
What other kind of, you said you've done graphic design, and I know that on your personal site, you have, or not personal site, but a site that you also have linked to is Volume 211.
Yeah.
You have three things in here, including the Blocksonic. So do you want to briefly just mention or talk about some of the, you have design and development
sure.
names there. Would you like to mention some of that stuff to people?
Yeah, sure. You know, I'm a trained graphic designer. I went to art school and all that good stuff. And that's where I started doing things, you know. And so Envision, which is NVZION.com, is my design firm, if you will, where I, you know, my freelance design stuff. But over the years as a designer, I've found it useful to learn programming as well. So I also develop back-end for the websites and stuff, you know, PHP programming, JavaScript, all that stuff. And so that type of work that I do falls under milkware.com. And volume211.com is kind of like of a parent entity, I guess, if you will, that kind of contains everything that I do. And it's kind of all in some ways tied together by music, because, you know, a lot of the design work I do are album covers for music groups such as Public Enemy. And, you know, all the stuff that I do programming is, it's Blocksonic. I program it. And so everything, you know, in my life kind of tied, or at least my work life is tied together by music. So I figured I'd tie everything together thematically with this entity, volume211.com.
Yeah, and this reminds me, I wanted to ask you another question about the NetBlocks, which, first of all, I love the fact that they each get a cover. I think that's fantastic. That's awesome, and the artwork's always really good. Where do you get the ideas for them? Are they based on what it's, you know, what's on it, or do you just kind of have a theme that you just run with?
Yeah, yeah. Usually I just, you know, I toss around titles, basically. I'll come up with a list of, like, you know, 15 titles or whatever, you know, subtitles, NetBlock volume, whatever, subtitle. And whatever one kind of works at that time, then I go with that. And it doesn't really tie to the music necessarily. It's just kind of what's, you know, what I feel like going with at the time. Sometimes it's more of a statement, or sometimes it's just about, you know, having a little fun with it.
And now I know you spoke about you have the project that you're planning on launching next year. And you also mentioned that you're going to have an album that's going to be the guinea pig for this in November, you said, correct?
Yeah.
So how is that different from the stuff that you've been releasing? It's going to be all new and, you know, is it going to be a theme based, or is it just going to be a collection album, or?
Basically the idea is, the artist releases, it's going to be two parts. You'll have part one, which is the free version. Part two will be a commercial version that'll be sold through, you know, Bandcamp and whatever outlets. but there'll be cross promotion going on. So the idea behind this is that the free release draws listeners to the music. And then if they really like you as an artist, then hopefully they'll go purchase the second part. And the idea is to have two full albums. So part one is a full album and part two is a full album. And they're, you know, they're tied together loosely thematically, maybe, you know, identity wise. Yeah. Aside from that, musically, it might not be tied together.
And a question that we like to ask a lot of the guests that we have on the show, and surprisingly, we get the same answer a lot, is what is the Creative Commons culture like in your neck of the woods?
There is none, really. Not in Maine. In the United States, there seems to be patchy and spotty. You know, some areas that seem to have a few people interested, but Maine, forget about it. There's really not a culture here for that. I'm trying to change it. I've got a friend here locally who's part of a local music organization. He keeps on trying to push discussion about Creative Commons in the professional music world in this area. And there's just, you know, I don't know, there's a lot of hesitance in the local music industry.
Now, I know that it was at one point, I don't know if it still is, it probably still is, possible to buy at least one Creative Commons released album at Bull Moose Shops. I don't know exactly where you're out in Maine.
Oh, right.
But Nicholas Burgess, who is out of Boston, I know he released at some Bull Moose shops. So do you have Bull Moose?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, they're a big, big source of good music over here. So yeah, so that's good to know.
Well, and the way he did it was kind of cool too. Is he went really guerrilla with it, and he just basically called up a bunch of the stores and said, "Hey, if I send you CDs, will you put them out?" Like, he literally just called up the stores and was asking them that.
Bull Moose is really good about that too. They, especially up here, in the Bull Moose in our area, both of them, they have a local music section. So basically, they will go out of their way to put local artists into their shop. So that's really cool that they do that.
Yeah.
And compete well. I think, you know, in my area, I think that, you know, well, first of all, there are hardly any music stores anymore anyway, so they don't have very much competition. But I think they do pretty well even against the big box stores nowadays because of their selection is so extensive.
Yeah, you can buy Nick's album off on the Bull Moose website, or they've got it listed or something. I haven't poked around too much, but this inspired me to do that. So
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. He's got the list price as $12.97, but they're selling it for $5.97. I think that's just funny the way list price works. Who buys lists?
And who does 97? Isn't it always like 99? So it sounds like it's the lesser one.
Yeah, but that's right, even right. That's even less.
That's
think
true.
Of the savings, Tom.
That's it. That's it. There. Yeah, that's exactly it. The two pennies cheaper than Best Buy.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the kids, you know, they're just getting the stuff on the internets these days anyway, right?
Right.
The whole big, but now this thing comes out a week after we talk about this, but did you guys hear everything that happened in the SOPA world yesterday and today? Just as a short little side thing. Like,
I heard the bill got pulled for SOPA, I believe.
Yes.
Pulled that.
Well, it's been postponed.
Okay.
Well, it's still at a standstill. And obviously they're, you know, they go, okay, something's up with this. Maybe we should actually read it or something. I don't know. But
or repackage it and call it something else.
Yeah, give it a nicer name, like the Happy Kitten Bill.
Yeah, right.
But did you also hear about how Anonymous started just taking down websites today?
They do that kind of all the time.
No, but they did it in protest to Mega Upload getting shut down yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think my wife mentioned something about other sites being taken down, but I had no idea who done it. I thought it was more government takedowns, so that's interesting.
No, it was like the MPAA and the RIAA and Sony and all these sites were basically like the simple thing where you just do it till the server can't take no more.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, they were doing that, and they were posting on, you know, there was a bunch of stuff posted, and they have a Twitter feed, and it was, you know, they had a link to a Pastebin thing that they wrote an article on saying, this is what happens for what you did, and whatever, you know, like the whole ominous, like, as I'm reading it, I feel like I'm reading it in one of those voice analyzers that changes it when you don't want to be recognized.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway,
that's interesting.
I just wanted to bring that up. Yeah. Okay, now back to, you know, other music stuff, more pressing music stuff. We like to ask people now what type of music, and it doesn't have to be CC licensed music, but what type of music do you like to listen to?
Depends on my mood, but, you know, hip-hop, rock, pop, jazz, electronic. My tastes are pretty far and wide, but it really depends on my mood. You know, when I was growing up, wintertime tended to be a rock. The winter months tended to be rock-oriented, and the summer months tended to be hip-hop-oriented.
Really?
Over the years, it's kind of gotten a little more muddled. But when I was younger, yeah, that's how I tended to go, which was kind of weird. I don't know why that happened, but it's just the way it was.
So seasonal music for you was more like that rather than like, oh, it's winter, I got to listen to Christmas music.
Right, yeah. Christmas music, not a big part, didn't have a big part to play in my life. I mean, you know, when I was younger, I think, but it's kind of faded off for me.
Yeah. Well, you just put Jingle Bells to something and claim that it's Christmas music. That'll do it.
Yeah.
It's a little workaround. Any particular artist influences as far as, like, the type of music or the music that you make and people that influence you?
Man, I don't know. Everything influences me, you know. Some of my favorite artists: Public Enemy, Bowie, Prince, Van Halen, Kiss, Miles.
Yes, Dave. Kiss.
Yeah. You know, my tastes are all over the place, so I got so many influences. So I guess it all goes in there. But, you know, of course, with it being beat oriented, you know, hip hop is definitely always in the back of my mind.
I noticed on the website that there are a couple catalogs that you list, and I don't think we mentioned them at all. One of them is sonicsquirrel.net, and the other is Flow, and I know about Flow, but I guess I'm not exactly sure, you know, why those two, I guess, as far as catalogs, because I feel like there's a lot of places where net labels are listed, and those are highlighted on the site, so I wondered if...
Well, Sonic Squirrel is pretty much like another mirror, and it goes back a little further than anything. It's more tied to the whole demo scene, I think. I don't know how far back it goes, but so a lot of CC artists will actually mirror their stuff there as well. It's just one more mirror that you can use for hosting, a little bit more independent. I don't know much about it, but we did use them as a backup for one of our releases. I forget which volume of NetBlock it was, But oh no, it was one of our original releases. It was by Ethix. Archive.org got a takedown notice by, you know, the industry, the major music industry. They took it down due to them saying that there was some sample in one of his songs or whatever. By, I think they said Kanye West or something. There was no Kanye West sample. So we pushed for archive.org to you know, push back a little bit, and they did. And then whoever it was that sent in the takedown notice admitted that they were mistaken, and so it got reposted. But while it was taken down, we had to find another host, and so we ended up backing it up. And so we used them as a backup. So they've come in handy for that.
That's so the one cool thing you can take from all that, you know, to do the glass half full, is that somebody found it on there who apparently had the ability to say, take this down because it's part of a Kanye West song. You know, so obviously it was getting heard. So that's pretty cool.
Maybe it wasn't. I mean, they didn't know what was in it. So
yeah, exactly. See, what's been happening a lot is they're basically sending out spiders. They have spiders searching the web for content that probably keywords is my guess.
Oh, okay.
That seem like something that would sample Kanye West, I guess. Huh. And they're automatically sending these takedown notices. So archive.org tends to get these pretty regularly. And I think at that time they were sending out a lot of notices. So I think it was something completely random. But cool. It just shows you how messed up that whole system is.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that a robot can essentially send a takedown notice and it gets taken down.
See, that's why I only go Androids. I would never let... No, never mind. I was going to make a robot joke and I lost it as I was saying it.
Yeah,
because
I mean, Androids are robots.
I know. I meant to say clone.
Oh, well, there we go.
Oh, my God.
I wanted to ask, I guess you were saying that some of the I'll call them records, albums, some of the things, the compilations that you release them to make a statement, you said. So I just sort of wonder, I mean, right now it's just you, but do you ever feel... Do you ever take into consider like what the ramifications might be if someone doesn't like that statement or, right. Yeah, I mean,
well, you know, my statements, you know, I don't know. I haven't had anybody complain about anything really. And I don't think my statements are all that crazy. So, you know, I'm not saying, assassinate the Pope or something like that. So,
well, we've never played your stuff backwards, so we don't know. You may be putting that in there.
He's saying now that.
Yeah, I say, you know, play it backwards. Really,
that's where the good stuff is. Okay.
So, so you know, I'm not too concerned about it. I haven't had any complaints yet, and you know, maybe as we grow, who knows? But I think that's just part of what Bloxonic is.
Yeah.
So I'm not too concerned at all.
I don't know if there's anything else that you'd like to tell the people about that you're doing, anything you'd like to mention, you know, just say hi to someone or, you know, anything
you'd
like. Yeah, there you go. See, we always offer people to say hi to their mom and no one ever does it. And you finally did.
Yeah,
it.
No. Well, actually, I was just listening to the interview we did with Copyleft.
Yeah.
I guess it was about a year ago, February, because I released that on the Punkcast. And I think that may have been the first time that I suggested it, and he did it right after.
Oh, he did do it. Well, nobody has since then.
Yeah, nobody has done it of their own volition. That is for sure.
Yes. So you are a good boy, as your mother would say, for doing that.
Good, good.
But is there any other things you'd like to tell the people about that you're up to, or just anything that you'd like to mention?
Well, we've got two more types of releases coming up this year. We've got what I'm calling common infusion releases, which are essentially kind of like NetBlocks, except that they incorporate artists who haven't previously released anything in Creative Commons license, with a Creative Commons license. And part of that goal is, especially with the first one, is it's focused solely on main artists. And these are all artists, you know, who release independently, you know, CDs and whatnot. Some of their stuff is actually found in Boom Moose. And me and a friend of mine kind of were able to get a few of the artists to say, okay, let's try out this Creative Commons thing. So we've got, I think, 10 tracks from various artists who are just kind of testing the waters of Creative Commons licensing.
You should check out A Troop of Echoes. Because they have not released anything out into the wild that's CC. Mm-hmm. They sent me a track that we put up on SoundCloud, I think, that may or may not be public. I'm not sure. But anyway, they were like, here, you know, this one track is CC, but they haven't released the album that that's on. And that might be, you know, like I said, they're not promoting that on their Bandcamp or anything. We sort of got exclusive on that. So I think they're coming out with an album. I don't know. I think it's pretty chill. I think you said you liked that track too, Tom, didn't you?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the show that you were digging?
Yeah.
So might be somebody to...
Write down the name. I'll definitely check them out. You said they're on SoundCloud?
That one track, we put it there just to have a place to host. But actually, they're... I don't know. I think they have a website, but they're on Bandcamp. It's just atroopofechoes.bandcamp.com. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I'll check them out. Thanks. Yeah, so we got that one coming out that's going to be main focused, but the idea is maybe to release a couple, one or two of these a year. And they'll be different. You know, I don't know if we're going to go with different regional themes like with the main one or not. But that's definitely something new that we got going on. There I go saying we again.
Well, you said you and a friend were doing this one, so that's valid.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I think it's fine. Don't listen to Tom. You're talking about the entity that's Block Sonic. You and Block Sonic together.
And truthfully, I have no right correcting anyone's grammar, to tell you the truth. So,
another thing we got coming up is another set of compilations that we're starting called Intros. And what those are compilations of specific artists that just release all kinds of stuff. And the premiere of that, God, I don't have my calendar open. If you go to blocksonic.com's calendar, it's listed somewhere. I forget which month it's coming out, but it's by the group called The Womb, which you can find at alandriscoll.com/womb or The Womb. This guy is releasing so much music unbelievably. He's just completely independent. I get the impression he does all or most of the instrumentation. He works with various singers, but a talented guy and just unbelievable amount of music. So we're going to release a compilation of his. Some of our favorites from his, releases. And so that series will be called Intros, simply Intros. Each release will actually be titled Intro.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Intro, and it'll be by that artist. So The Womb Intro, and, you know, each year I think we'll do one of those.
Okay. That's really cool. The everything that you mentioned there, that's like basically the whole concept of this show. And I think it's really great that we basically got a chance to talk to you and see that you're out there and trying to do this. And I like that idea. I like the whole concept of what you just said there. And even just going, hey, come on, give it a try and we'll help you promote it. You know, that's definitely net label material right there. So.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great to finally talk to you guys.
Yeah, I know. We've had some scheduling problems, but...
I'm loving, too, that when I go to the calendar, I'm clicking through, and, like, I'm sure it's just, like, a recurring event, but, like, I'm in April 2014, and there's still releases on there.
Well, with this year, I actually... In 2011, I tried to organize my schedule tightly, and it really didn't happen. It kind of... A few things got pushed back and whatnot, but this year I think I'm really working hard to keep everything tightly scheduled, and I have a lot more releases this year too, so I have to be super organized. So it's just an unbelievable amount of content we're releasing this year. So
that's awesome.
So Definitely lots to look forward to.
Yeah, Dan, well, if this is you being unorganized, I can't wait to see what happens when you really apply yourself, I got to tell you. So, but no, it was really great talking to you, and I'm glad we got you on the show. And love to have you back for like with your new releases and all the stuff you're planning this summer. If you anytime you want to be on the show, just let us know.
Okay, I definitely will.
All right, great. And this has been another Music Manumit at musicmanumit.com.